When I think of how he came so far from glory, came and dwelt among the lowly, such as I, to suffer shame and such disgrace. On the Calvary, take my place. Then I ask myself this question, for who am I?
Who am I that a king would plead and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will but thy, Lord?
The answer I may never know. Why he ever loved me so? And to that old rugged cross he go. For who am I? When I'm reminded of his words, I'll leave you never.
Just believe I'll give to you a life forever.
To fight my battles till they're won, for who am I?
Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who am I that he would pray, not my will but thy, Lord?
To that old rugged cross he go, for who am I? And to that old rugged cross he go, for who am I?
Thank God that's there. Why would the Lord Jesus Christ go to the cross? For a sinner like me, is the question and the answer. Why would he go for a sinner like me? He went for a sinner like me because he loved us. Amen. Take your Bibles, please, and turn with me this first Sunday of the new year to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. There's a Disney movie that's been out for a while now, probably as become, as I believe I've heard, the most popular, and that would be by title, what? Frozen. And their number one song hit off of the movie is Let It Go. Quite catchy tune. Matter of fact, you probably have heard some of the kids, if you have young kids around the house, you probably heard them singing it. Even around the church here, I think I've heard some singing it. But now you have to be careful about lyrics of songs, though. It has a few spots in it there, for instance, that says, "It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong, no rules for me. I'm free." You have to be careful. As for me and my house, I can't stand on that statement. And it's a cute song, and it's catchy, etc. Well, that's not the message today. But I have taken the title of that song and used it as the title of our message today. The message title being Let It Go. And I want to see that was taking it right out of Philippians chapter 3 here. And in verse 13, in the middle part of the verse there, it says, forgetting those things which are behind. The Apostle Paul writes to us about this, led by the Holy Spirit of God. And there are some things in which we have to leave behind. We have to let go. Sometimes forgetting some things is bad. Sometimes it's good. It's bad to forget appointments. It's bad to forget God's Word, God's truth. It's bad to forget promises that you make to other people, etc. But there are some things that God says that we should leave behind, we should forget, that we should let go. And Paul is an example of this. If you remember, the Apostle Paul is the one who's writing here. Let's read verses 13 and 14 and then remember about Paul. But in verse 13, he says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. And this is coming out of his verse there in verse 12, where he says there that there's a goal that I'm following after, that I'm trying to apprehend for God, I'm trying to reach or accomplish for God. And he says in verse 13, I haven't accomplished that yet. I haven't apprehended it yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth into those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, as Paul tells us this, he says there, in a sense, there is a goal that God has for me for the future, and there are things in the past that we have got to let go of so that we in the present can press toward that goal that God has for us. Now, I've given you a little indication this morning that that goal that He has for us is to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. That is what He has desired. That is what He has predetermined, that everyone that trusts the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, He would go then about to make us into the image of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to be like Him. And that's a process that He begins to work on us. And that's what Paul is talking about there, pressing on toward that particular goal. But he says there are some things that we need to leave behind, to let go. And if you remember the Apostle Paul, over in Acts chapter 3, we have a little bit about it. But in Acts chapter 8 and verse 3, it says, as for Saul, now Saul was Paul's name prior to his salvation, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hauling men and women. That the word there, or that phrase, hauling men and women there, means that he was dragging them before the judge and committed them to prison. Over in chapter 9 and verse 1, it says, and Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. We see here a picture of what Saul was doing. Out of his own zeal, what he thought was right for God, he was being used to persecute the church. Now, he thought he was doing what God wanted him to do. He was sincere, but he was sincerely wrong. He was very zealous in all that he did. And Stephen had already been martyred there, and he was arresting many other believers and throwing them into prison. The church was going underground and was scattering everywhere. And then here he is threatening and to slaughter, etc., those believers, those disciples of God. All of this takes place just prior there, chapter 9, to the Damascus Road experience, where God showed him the light, the truth of who Jesus Christ was, and he trusted the Lord there, got saved, and God changed his life direction that is there. My question is this. Do you think Paul ever looked back upon what he had done with regrets and felt unworthy to be used of God? Absolutely. The Scripture says it specifically. In 1 Corinthians 15:9, Paul says, for I am the least of the apostles that am not meet or fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. Specifically, he looks back And he sees what he had done. And he understands the significance of it. And he felt unworthy. He felt like, I'm not worthy to be used of God because of what my past was all about. Do you think there are believers today that may be in the same boat? That may look, and maybe possibly one of you that may say, you know, you don't know what I was like before. You don't know even after I got saved, there were some times that I didn't have any heart for the Lord, really, to follow Him like I should have been. I just don't feel worthy that I can be used of God today. But Paul is saying to us, there's some things that we've got to let go. There's some things that we have got to leave behind. That past, for example, that is there. Paul had a lot of past to let go of. But obviously, we're not to let go and forget everything that is in the past. You know, the quote that is so often used of this, those that cannot remember the past are condemned to, you've heard it as well, to repeat it. Certainly there are some things in which we are not to forget. Matter of fact, the Bible tells us to remember some 144 times in Scripture we're told to remember. Psalms gives us a multitude of times. Don't forget God's works and God's words. 1 Timothy 4:6, Paul says to this young preacher, he says, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. You know, a lot of the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God is reminding you of what you should already know. Now, if you've been any time, any length of years in our church here, you've been taught a lot of Scripture. Sunday school, our adult Bible study, the preaching here of the Word of God, there's a lot of truth that has been given out over the years. And you should know that truth if you are growing, if you are learning. Now, should you know all of that truth? I was just talking with one of our members this morning that said, you know, I really appreciate your messages and what I've gotten out of that, but I can't remember all of them. And I said, you know, as I've told you before, every one of you ate some food every day of this past year, but you can't remember what all you ate, but you were nourished by it. And the same thing is true. You may not remember every message that has been preached, but you are nourished by it if you allow the Spirit of God to take that and to work in your heart with it. And so it is with that, and the more that we are exposed to it, the more we are reminded of it, the better it sticks up here in this brain to remember it. So there are some things, obviously, that we're not to forget, that we are to remember. So what kind of things are we to forget? What kind of things are we to let go? And there are two main categories that I want us to look at this morning. One of it is going to be some general things we'll talk about. The second one will be some specific things we're going to talk about. But before we do, let's ask God's blessing as we look. Father, we pause and we do pray right now that you would, through your Holy Spirit, both empower me to be able to share the things very clearly that you placed upon my heart, things that I've studied of your word. And Lord, I pray for every one of us as we listen, that we would not allow anything to distract us from the truth, that we would concentrate upon understanding it. Lord, that we would surrender to all you show us. Father, give us that mentality right now, and by your Holy Spirit, bring it to be true in each one of us. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. In these general things I want us to look at, two categories of the general things. One is going to be past victories. Past victories. You've heard the story concerning Yellowstone National Park and their great attraction there of Old Faithful. Geyser there earned its name by it consistently being erupted there as clockwork. But Old Faithful, as you probably have heard, is not so faithful anymore. Back in the 60s, every 64 minutes or so there, just like clockwork, it would erupt. But nowadays, it's every 80, sometimes as long as 90 minutes before it erupts. It's not as consistent. It's still called Old Faithful, but the behavior has changed. You know that there are some Christians and churches that are the same way. Years ago, they were Old Faithful, but they're not as faithful anymore today. And yet they look back to the times that they were faithful. And they hold on to that in their memories. But God says, I want you to be faithful today. I want us to have the testimony today that we are consistent with the Lord, both in the reading of His Scripture, in the praying, speaking to Him, and faithfulness in His church, to be here consistently. It is God's church. It is God's will for us to be here. It is God's power in our life that He allows us to even to function, to be out, and we ought to give Him the first place of it there. Certainly so. Just like manna from heaven, you can't live on yesterday's manna. And you can't live by yesterday's testimony. It's today's testimony that's so important. Past victories are great, but don't live in the past. Let it go. Second general area is past failures. All of us have failures. All of us have things in which we wish we had never done, that we wish we had never said, or that we would have not ignored in our life. We can all look back, unfortunately, with regrets. It's part of life. But we're not to meditate on those regrets. We're not to stay there in our mind. We may never truly forget them. Remember Paul, he hadn't forgot what he had done. But we can choose no longer to linger there. We can let it go. And that's exactly what we're to do. Too many Christians are shackled by the regrets of the past. Paul said right here in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13, he says there, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting about those things of failures, forgetting about those things that you neglected to do, forgetting about those things in which you have regrets now and you wish if you could do it all over again, you would do it differently. Let it go. Confess it if it was sin, repent of it, and then start out anew with God and press toward the mark, the next verse there. Press toward the goal that He has for you. Don't live in the regrets, but live today as God would have you. We're told in Hebrews chapter 12, you remember as it says there in verse 1, that let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Here we're told that the good runner is one who lays aside anything that would impede his progress in the race. And it speaks to us about that sin that keeps tripping us up, that easily besets us. And that we are to get rid of those things, let those things go, that we can run with endurance, the race that God has placed before us, looking unto Jesus, our goal to be like Him. So it means there that we forget about the past with our eye on the future goal. Right now in the present, we run with patient endurance toward that goal. That's what God would have us to do there. Some general things, the past victories, the past failures, never look back on the past in a way that it would impede the present progress being made in your life. Don't be crippled by the past. Secondly, some specific things that I want us to look at. Just like Paul, we have to let go some things before we can press on toward the goal that God has for us. Excuse me just a second. I'm struggling with a feather in my throat. There are four things that I've given here specifically that I think that we need to be willing to let go. The first one is letting go of relationships. Now, I'm not talking about divorce. God has not called you to divorce your spouse in order to press on toward the new goal that God has for you. That's not what He's talking about at all here. But the question that I want you to ask yourself is, How do my friends influence me? Now, you may say, well, that's a good question. I hope my teenager's listening. Could I say, that's a good question. I hope you're listening. Because this question is not just for young people. This question is for every one of us. We all have acquaintances, friends, etc., from one level to another that are in our lives. Some of them may be co-workers that we listen to, that we talk with, etc. In our conversing with people, there's influence that can be made upon us. And so to the depth of your friendship is to the depth of the importance of their influence upon you. And so if you have a friend that is not encouraging you in a proper way spiritually, especially if that friend is one that is actually, when you get around them, has a tendency to drag you from what God wants you to be, from your faithfulness or consistency, or cause you to think about some things that are not pure and just and holy and good. If those friends that talk about certain things that you're listening to or things in which you know you don't need is not beneficial for you, then I think there's time that we have to make a decision to let them go. And that is not an easy decision to make at any age. Proverbs 4, verses 14 and 15 says, "Enter not into the path of the wicked, and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away." In other words, if you know that that person there is leading you in the wrong direction, God says, avoid that. Pass not in that direction. Make effort not to be a part of that influence. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And it goes on and gives the reasoning down in there. What fellowship do we have with them, etc.? And so you have to ask the question then, why are you hanging with that friend? And don't tell me it's so you can witness to them. Otherwise, I'd be hearing testimony of how you witnessed and possibly seeing the results of that in salvation. Or they would be rejecting you. You can't justify hanging with the wrong crowd by using a phrase like, I'm trying to witness to them. On the other hand, over in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 33, is a verse right there, I believe, that speaks very strongly to this. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, be not deceived, all right? In other words, don't deceive yourself. Don't let somebody else deceive you. Evil communications corrupt good manners. What does that mean? The word communications there has to do with to be in the company of, to associate with, hence, to converse, okay? The people that you converse with that are close to you, that are evil, will corrupt good morals, manners. And that's what the word means. Thinking, beliefs, morals, etc. The people that you are close with that are evil will corrupt the way that you think, which in turn affects the way you behave yourself. And the person that says, you don't understand, I can handle that, it won't affect me, is deceived. God said,